Praise God for the team that's doing that. Amen. And so that's today. Amen. At 2. But be there for 1:45. All right. So Acts chapter 7, saints, let's go ahead and start. We'll start in verse 1, just reading. The Bible says, "Then said the high priest, are these things so?" And he said, "Men, brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child." Father, we thank you for your word. Bless me, fill me up, use me, speak through me, and bind the enemy out. Let us hear no other voice, see no other vision, receive no other word but what you have for us today, Daddy. We pray that you wouldn't quarantine us in this holy place and that you would speak for your servants listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints of God, we've been in the book of Acts, and we've been studying the seven first deacons, focusing in on one of them by the name of Stephen. We've gone through several points already in regards to Stephen. He was full of faith, full of power. Great wonders and miracles came out of him through the power of God. The synagogue came against him, disputing with him, not able to resist his wisdom and the spirit that was in him. They secretly suborned men to say that he was a blasphemer, speaking blasphemous words all over Jerusalem, which could not be further from the truth. They continued to stir up the elders and the leaders of Jerusalem until they apprehended Stephen and arrested him, brought him in, and put false witnesses on the stand that spoke derogatory things against Jesus Christ of Nazareth and said that Stephen, along with Christ, wanted to destroy and change the temple. Though it was true that the temple would be destroyed and the traditions would be changed, but what they did not say was that the Lord was going to bring something better than the old stagnant, geographically structured worship of the temple and bring us a new form of worship with the new covenant, that he would indeed change the old covenant and the laws that were written on stone, but he would indeed give us something better, laws written on the inside, the tablets, the pages of our hearts. And they did not tell the people that. They just took away something and didn't say that God was giving them something better. Well, as they accosted Stephen and accused Stephen, the Bible says that Stephen's face began to shine just like an angel, the glory of God confirming that he was with his servant. We picked up in chapter 7, verse 1, and Stephen begins to give his defense. He begins to talk about, amen, hallelujah, who he is and who his God is. And he begins that to talk about God appeared unto his father, our father. And hallelujah, Stephen was still respecting them and showing them that even though they were treating him bad, he could treat them good. He talked about the God of glory and how God called Abraham out of Mesopotamia. And there we talked about the high doctrine of election and God choosing us before we choose him. We on the second point, amen, which is get thee out. Somebody say, get thee out. That's where we are today, amen, hallelujah. And if you remember, God told Abraham to get out of his country. And we took that and we applied that to us. That after God chooses us in eternity's past, after God calls us with both the internal and external call of the gospel, amen, he saves us, he justifies us, washes us clean. But he also commands us to come out from among them, to be ye separate, saith the Lord, and to come out of the world. And if you remember, I gave probably almost 12, 13, maybe even 14 points about the world and about why Christians should be in the world, but not of the world. And this is especially true for the Hebrews of today as the dispensations change, as the, hallelujah, churches of the Gentiles go down and the Hebrews are regathered, it is extremely important that we unplug ourselves from the umbilical cord of the world that feeds us nothing but trash and filth and makes it hard for us to worship the Most High God. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. So this morning, we want to continue on that point. Get thee out. Amen. And I'm going to have just three sub-points. Somebody say, woof. Three sub-points. It's not going to be 14, amen, but three of them. And we're going to talk about the next part of this verse. Look at it with me. And it's verse 3. And he said unto him, God said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country. That's what we just covered. But he also told him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. From thy kindred. And so let's just say la right there. Amen. It's going to be a new word for some, but it's going to be a reminder at the right time for others. Get out thy country and from thy kindred. Hallelujah. And so remember, amen, this is Stephen giving his testimony, but he's referring to what God told Abraham. And God called Abraham out of Mesopotamia. That's true. But he also told Abraham, just don't leave your country, but you got to leave your kindred too. Because let me tell you, you could leave your country and not leave your kindred. So God made sure to tell him, just don't leave your geographical location. You got to leave your, you got to leave your people too. You got to leave your kindred too. Amen. That word kindred, somebody say kindred, is syngenia in the Greek. Syngenia in the Greek. And it means your family. It means your blood relatives. It means your cousins, your cousins. Amen. Your kin. But it also means other close relationships. Like your BFF, your best friends forever. Amen. And so in this text, God not only called Abraham out of his country, out of Mesopotamia, but he calls him out of his family, from his close relations, from his, hallelujah, his close friends. And I'm here to tell you that God will do the same to us this morning. Amen. That God will call us, and that's going to be kind of our 3 points. He's going to call us away from our family and relatives, number one. He's going to call us, number two, away from our BFFs, our close relations, so to speak, our best friends, for our singles, boyfriends and girlfriends. And then lastly, we're going to even see that God even calls us out of some Christian relationships. He'll even tell you to get away from some believers. That's not believing the way they should be believing. Hallelujah. So let's begin with sub-point A. Hallelujah. Get thee from your family and your relatives. Now remember, Abraham's family was in idolatry. Somebody say idolatry. That means they serve false gods and they worship devils on the cool. Because every idol is a devil. That's all it is. Amen. It's a spirit behind every statue. You got to remember that. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to have to write that down. There's a spirit behind every statue. They just not been behind a piece of wood. There's a spirit behind there that's drawing worship out of people. Amen. And so they worshiping devils. God told Abraham, your family is idolatrous. Demonic, devilish. So you not only got to leave your country, you got to get thee out from your family. Listen, God chooses us, calls us, saves us, calls us out of the world, but he also tells us and calls us out of the families that we grew up in, just like Abraham, especially, and here's the kicker, especially when our family is lost, y'all. When our family is lost, like Abraham's family is lost, he calls us out of that. Now, I know some of y'all want to hope for the best that your family is saved. But you can know a tree by its fruit. So when you want to know whether your family is saved, you got to ask the question, are they acting saved? What church they go to regularly? who's their pastor. Amen. You know? So when your family not saved, a lot of the times God will call you out of your family. All right? Now, when he calls you out, it's not in a sense of you turning your back completely on your family. All right? Some churches want you to alienate your family. Act as though they got a restraining order on their own family. Daddy, I can't get 100 yards from you. That's what my pastor say. No. That's idiocy. And that's not really knowing the totality of scripture. Because the same scripture that say come out from among them also tells you to honor your mother and your father, amen, so that you can be blessed. So we want to obey this text and we want to obey that text and we don't want to, amen, be extreme on either of them. But can I tell you that there's a balance right in the middle of that, amen, where you can still honor them, you can still talk with them, you can still even visit them every once in a while, amen. But the issue here, y'all, when we talk about separating yourself from your family, your lost family, amen. Listen, and I want you to try your best to remember this. It's not really about how much you talk with them or how much you go over there. It's all about a little word that I call influence. Somebody say influence. All right? Because I can't tell you how much to go and how much not to go. I'm not going to try to put a law on you like that. My name ain't David Koresh. This is not a cult. Amen. You're going to have to listen to the Holy Spirit as you decide how close you can come to your family. Amen. And the question that you must ask yourself and that you and your spouse got to decide and you and your children have to decide is how close can I get without them playing a major influence on me and my walk. Is anybody hearing me up in here? So the spectrum is going to look different for some people. Some people ain't going to even be able to go at all. Because that's how much of a great influence. Mamas and daddies and brothers and sisters and cousins and aunts and uncles have on you. So you can't go at all. Because every time you go, you leave there drunk or high. All right? Amen? And so what's in you can't even come close to what's in them. Because you're going to act out. You leave there, now you're fussing. You want to fight with your wife and your kids. And you want to live unchristian. Like, no. You got to back up a little bit. All right? Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Others can go, amen, and not be influenced so much. In fact, amen, they overcome evil with good. Hallelujah. The family is not influencing them, but no, they influencing the family. Anybody hear me up in here? And they can show up because when they show up, people want to pray now. People stop cursing now. People put their drink on the side now. Oh, the preacher wife there. Anybody hear me up in here? When that begins to happen, you can show up a little bit more. All right. Now, at the same time, it'll never be like it used to be when y'all all was lost. Amen. But there's a spectrum that you're going to have to discern. Amen. Now, I don't want you to be no fool now. Because some fools will be, oh, they're not influencing me. So you got to ask your spouse. Are they influencing me? And your spouse is going to say, yes, they are. And you can't see it. All right? Sometimes God will tell us, get thee out. And he'll say, get out your family. Get out that influence. Amen. Because sometimes the influence of our families is not good. You see, they don't influence you toward God. Some of our families influence us away from God. When you want to pray, amen, they influence you away from prayer. Oh, it's not that bad. You don't have to pray about it just yet. Amen. They influence you away from the word of God when you want to wake up and read your Bible and get in the presence. They influence you away from coming to church. You ain't got to go every Sunday, huh? But they don't understand. I get my blessing when I come here. Blessed are they that dwell in his house. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, and I got to be where he is. They don't understand that. But they want you to go to church like they go to church. But wait, they lost. And they only go to church on Easter, Thanksgiving. No, not Thanksgiving, Easter and Christmas. You know? So if they are influencing you away from God, away from prayer, away from the word, away from church, amen, away from righteousness. They got some families that, hallelujah, influence some Christians away from tithing. Huh? They don't want you to tithe. They don't want you to give. But wait, that's how I get my blessing. That's how God blesses me. Amen. A family that's broken, busted, ain't got nothing, want to tell you how to be blessed. How in the world a blind going to lead the blind? How in the world I'm going to listen to you about giving to the Most High when you ain't got nothing yourself? Huh? They will influence you away from your God. You see, some of them influence us towards sin, towards the world. You show up, amen, and they know you're trying to strive for God, but they want to try to put that drink back in your hand. You know, nah, man, nah. I see that you don't respect what my decision enough. Yeah, yeah. You know? And if y'all going to keep on acting like that, I'm not going to come around here no more. You don't know what that drinking did to my son and my daughter when I wasn't home. You don't know what that drinking did to my wife when I would come home and want to box somebody. You don't. That's where you want me to be again. You don't really love me if you want me to be right there again. You don't love me. You know what I'm saying? Influence. They influence you back into bondage. Back into captivity. Back into poverty. You know? And those family members, amen, when you go to them and they know that your Christian marriage experiencing a little turmoil. Because let's be honest. Even though we Christian, it don't absolve us from trouble, y'all. It don't mean we're not going to have trouble. No, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. It's just that he gives us his peace to get us through the trouble. Amen? And so when your unbelieving family know that things get a little rocky every now and then with your marriage or with your children, amen, when you go around that too much, the influence, the advice that they give us, Miss Aola, might not be the advice of the Most High. It might not be the advice of the Bible. They come out there telling you, I knew you shouldn't have married her. And I knew, from in the wedding, I wasn't happy. I signed that marriage license, but I really didn't want to sign it. And if you look close, I didn't put the dot on my I. And that meant I wasn't in an agreement. And they will try to influence us away from that marriage that God wants to honor him and give him glory. Influence us into ways that's not best for raising our children. Or let that child do. Or don't whip that child like that. Don't reprimand that child. Let that child. If that child don't experience the world, how that child gonna know? Let that child smoke that joint. Like, go ahead, let that. They give the most foolish advice. As though somehow to make our children better, we got to let them run around the swamp, the cesspool. We got to let them run around the garbage pile. You know? When God say train them in the way that they should go. Your family and the world tells us train them in the way they shouldn't go first. You see? It's an issue of influence. Separate yourself, Christian. Here's a reminder. Separate yourself from the influence of your lost family. Amen? Get as close as you can. But when they begin to influence your life, it's time to back up. It means that you're too close. Come on, give God some glory. Amen? Woo! Now, I got to be specific, J. Malvo. You see, because when I say family, I mean, amen, sometimes you got to separate yourself from the influence of mamas and daddies, sisters and brothers, aunts and uncles, cousins, nieces, nephews, even sometimes your own children, amen. And there's a way when you have a lost spouse that you could still be married to them, but not allow them to influence you into sin. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? You can still be married to them, show the love of Christ. But I'm not going, listen, I'm not going to hell with you. And I'm not stealing nothing. I'm not breaking God's laws. Amen. Because I put God first. Hey, and you second. Hallelujah. All right. So let me give you a few examples. All right. Just a few examples of getting thee out. All right. Number one, for our new believers in here, you got to get out the family's religion. Amen. Get out the family's religion. All right. And this is so real, saints. If your family's lost like Abraham's family, amen, they have a religion, but it's a lost religion. It's a religion that's not changing nobody. It's a religion in name only, in tradition only. But them people go to church, but ain't nobody changed. They just as mean as a pit bull on cayenne pepper. They just as bound and addicted and inebriated and high and womanizing, amen. And so that religion is only a facade of serving God. They honor God with their lips and their bells and their whistles, but their hearts are far from him. And so when the Bible says, get thee out, you know, sometimes you got to say, I'm getting out the family religion. Come on, anybody hear me up in here? Amen. And I tell people all the time, amen, you got to find something that works for you. All right. And if your family religion is not getting you close to God, you better go find a faith that's going to get you close. Amen. And that's what happened to me, saints. That's my testimony. I didn't grow up Christian. I didn't grow up, amen, on fire for the Lord. Amen. I grew up in a different religious system, and that religious system did not draw my soul to my Creator. And it didn't impede me from iniquity. Amen. Because I could leave that place and go sin. All right? And what I always tell people, amen, if that's not working for you, unplug yourself and find yourself a place where you could plug and get closer to God. Amen? And I'm telling you, and sometimes parents get mad, all right? But if you was a parent, amen, with just a little bit of wisdom, just a little bit of wisdom, if where you going to church does not effectuate change in your children, and your children, they're living lives that's destructive, they're not being productive. Amen. They're out on the street, in the club, not going to nobody's school, not getting a job. They're on the couch. All they do is play video games. Listen, Miss Angela, I wouldn't really care where they go. Just somebody bring them somewhere and fix them. That's what I would say, Brother Steve. But you could tell that some religion is not just religion, but it's a spiritual captivity. It's a stronghold. Amen. Because if parents would really see what true faith could do to their children, they would send them here without them. You understand what I'm saying, Cherie? They would say, I'm not going, but you go down there to Philadelphia. All right? Because they're setting people free. Sometimes we got to get out the religion of our families. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Yeah, they're going to talk about you. We're going to get to that in a second. Sometimes you got to leave the ways of your family. The ways of your family. Listen, every family has a way. Every family in here. It's a way of doing things. And that's why marriage is so rough the first 5 years, because you're trying to blend away. You got the woods way. You understand what I'm saying? You got this way, all right? And everybody trying to blend away, all right? Blend away. Hallelujah. When we get saved out of lost families, amen, our marriages have the propensity to work the best, amen. Because when we get saved, hallelujah, God wants us to leave the ways of our family, all right? Our lost family, amen, two Christians come, amen, and you start a whole new way. You start a whole new family. You start a whole new way of doing things. Anybody hear me up in here? All right. That's what a Christian marriage is supposed to do, especially when you're leaving a lost family. All right. Families have ways. They have ways of doing things. Amen. The Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. All right. And so a family has a way. The way they talk to each other, that's a way. You know what I'm saying? They either go. Some families talk nice to one another. Some families talk to each other like dogs. Amen. And smile with each other after they talk about each other. Curse each other, threaten each other. I'll cut you, I'll stab you. You want some of these potatoes? You know what I'm saying? It's just a way, all right? And as a Christian, you got to learn to come out of those ways that don't glorify the Most High God. Your family has a way that they act in marriage. The way the husband treats the wife and the way the wife treats the husband. The way they communicate, the way they spend money, hey God. The way they raise the kids, amen. When you get saved, you got to come out of the ways, amen, of Mesopotamia. Hey God. And the beautiful thing about it is that God gives us his way in his word, amen. What I would love to see with two Christians when they get married, amen, is that you can go in their house and their house look completely different than their mama and daddy house. The way they talk with one another, the way they do money, the way they, hallelujah, love one another, affectionate towards one another, it's completely different. Why? Because God says, he says, my ways are not like your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Hey, God, it's time for Christians. And we got some seasoned saints in here. They might have got out of their families physically, but they ain't got out the ways of their family. They still acting like their daddy. They still acting like their mama. Come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. All right? And there's some things you can still be like your mama and like your daddy, but that's the good ways. You know how they say, eat the meat, but spit out the bones. If we can learn to do that as we, hallelujah, go out and start our own families, amen, that would be a great thing. Let me tell you, you would never know it, but there's a way in which your family raised children. Oh, yeah. The way they raise children. And if you're not careful and don't renew your mind with the washing and the renewing of the word and the Holy Ghost, you will fall into this rut, this groove, this beaten path of raising your children just like they raised you. It'll happen, amen, in an imperceivable way. You won't even be able to see it. But you talking to them just like they talk to you. And you letting them do just what they let you do. And you watching them just like they watch you. You're doing exactly the same thing. I pray to God that God will open some eyes in here this morning. Amen. Just open some eyes. Where we would be able to see, am I falling in this same rut? Yeah, I'm saved and I'm redeemed, but I'm not sanctified in every area yet. I still got some ways like daddy. And I still got some ways like mama. And I got to put that behind me if I'm going to move beyond them. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! You got to put down their ways. If you don't put down their ways, you only going to get as high as mama got. And as high as daddy got. I don't know about you, but in my economy, my understanding, every generation should strive to go higher than the previous one. Well, we don't stand equal with them. We stand on their shoulders. You see, now, when they tell me I want to be just like that, that's not good enough. You be better than me. You see what I'm saying? And man of God, I want to speak to your heart right now. Don't you dare come in here talking about you want to be like daddy. Because you're only looking at daddy through rose-colored lenses. Don't you dare say you want to be just like daddy. You won't say, I won't take some good things that daddy had in him. Daddy was a giver. Daddy was this and daddy was that. But you know daddy had some things in him that God don't want you to inherit, that God don't want you to operate in. That man talking about my daddy. Yes, I am. Because I would rather you be more like Jesus than more like your daddy. Amen. Hey, God. We got to put down their ways. Come out of their ways. Got some Christians. Hey, God. They never put down them ways just yet. When he say, get thee out of thy family. Not only, amen, their ways and their religion. It also means that you got to put down the mindset of the family. The mindset. Not only will you find that families have ways, but they have a certain mindset. And when I say mindset, all I mean is that, hallelujah, some families have things that they set their minds on. They lock on. Let me break it down a little bit further. Every family has a value system. Things that they value. And as you go from one family to another, the value system changes. All right? Let me break it down. One family might value money. Ooh, anybody hear me? And their minds are set on money. Hey, God. And in that family, it revolves around what? It revolves around money. It revolves around payday. Everybody happy on Friday. Amen. Mom and dad not getting along for nothing else. Oh, but it's payday. Let's go out. Hey, God. And you raise covetous children. You raise greedy children. You raise children that's not happy unless they got a little money in their pocket. Amen. And so it's a mindset. It's a value system. I like to call these things, y'all, family idols. Not American idols, family idols. Not only does America have an idol, but every family has an idol. I'll put that up there, Soundboot, amen. If you'll put that up there, just family idol, and write that down. Write that down. Lost families have family idols. It's something that they all gravitate towards. It's something that they all want. And if we had to be real with ourselves, amen, we could say like Abraham, when we come out of Mesopotamia, looking back, we could say, that was our family idol. And for some, it was money. And you'll see it. You'll see if it was money. Hey, God, because they're going to lift up money and the people who have money. And everything going to be centered around money. In fact, hallelujah, some of them going to get so bad, they will allow family members to break the law to get money, sell drugs to get money. Hey, God, steal clothes to get money. As long as they got money, it don't matter how they get the money, but as long as they got the money. They could have over their house, show me the money. That's what the house is all about. It's a family idol. And when you get saved, you got to come out of that. Because a man can't serve two masters. He going to either serve God or money, and it can't be both. We throw away our idols when we get saved. But you got some Christian families in here still living like they're kindred. Still honoring the God of money, of paper, of green. So then God we trust and money we trust. They all about the Benjamins. And when I'm calling you out this morning, I'm calling you to put down this idol. And the reason why some of y'all don't have money is because you worship it. And God don't want to get you in trouble. Come on, give God some glory. Woo! I'm telling you, man, God's system works opposite. Sometimes you got to release things before you get them. Sometimes you got to open your hand before he feel it. Hey, God, and let me tell you something. This is real. I'm not speaking for something I heard, no. I'm talking about something I know. When I got saved, God changed my appreciation of money, y'all. You know? And that's when money coming. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Family idols we talking about. It's not just money, but material things. Amen. Some family worship material things. The shoes you got on. The name brand pants you're wearing. When you come in for the holidays, amen, they do a Target scan on you. You understand what I'm saying? They look you up and down. They want to check the bottom of your shoes, how much you have. Is it the Brazilian? Is it the Peru? They want to know everything. They pricing you up. And the person that can come in with the most expensive outfit, drive up in the most expensive car, live in the most expensive house, wins the title of the best person in the family. All about material things. It's all about a family idol. Now, let me tell you something real clear, especially in the Hebrew communities. This is a battle of the zeros. It's a battle of the nothings. Because in the family, everybody ain't got nothing. Nobody own nothing. But they want to show off something that they don't have. We come up in that in jeans we can't afford. Driving cars with rims that we, listen, can't even pay the note on. But we come in to perpetrate. We come in to fake the front. The Bible says there is one who appears rich who has nothing. And if we had to be real about ourselves, these holidays, especially in the black communities, all it is a competition. You know what I'm saying? Coming in. Why in the world do we buy new outfits anyway? For holidays. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to get my East Side fit. No, we ain't got no money. Now, here's the deal, Jen. If you're going by your East Side fit to come to church, you understand what I'm saying? You won't look nice for church. That's a whole nother thing. You won't bring God your best. But to buy a new outfit to go in that same old house we've been going in 15 years, looking at them same old people, what kind of rationale is that? It's the battle of the nothings. It's the battle of the nothings. Everybody got zero, but trying to play like I'm a bigger zero. No, you a bigger zero. Everybody in the dirt. Battle of the worms. Trying to say, but I'm higher in the dirt than you. That's that competition spirit. That's that Willie Lynch that's on our people. Anybody hear me up in here? If we can just learn, we all ain't got nothing. Put our son a little bit together. Might be able to do something. Hey, God, come on, somebody. Oh, God, slow down the time. Yeah, material things, an idol, beauty. Oh, this is one. A beauty, a family idol of beauty. Because in some families, it's not about the money so much. It's not about the material things so much. But it's the beauty. All right? So the young lady had come in the house and her hair is a certain way. And her skin complexion and her weight is a certain way. And the whole family just stops and looks at her. Ooh. And they favor her. All right? Or they favor him. All right? He didn't put his little S curl in his head. And he coming out there. He looking good. You understand what I'm saying? He bouncing when he walk like he got a rhythm up in there. Everything he do, he trying to show his muscle. He stretches tricep to get some of the cornbread dressing. Look. A family that idols, that idolizes beauty in physical form. All right? And the people that's supposed to really be important in that family, with the wisdom, with knowledge, amen, who can actually lead the family, amen, they put them on the side. Because maybe they older, amen, maybe they, hallelujah, they not as in top tip condition as the other one. And this other person, amen, who have the right stuff on her head, but nothing inside her head. Amen. So she walks out there. You understand what I'm saying? And the family's worshiping her. That's when they have an idol. A family idol of beauty. And as Christians, we got to come out of that. You know, beauty in physical form is not our thing. You understand what I'm saying? For God don't see it like man see it. God see it the heart of a man. That's why he didn't pick the mother boss. And he picked David, y'all. Don't be shallow Christians. Don't be shallow Christians. Don't you bring that value system to church or that value system in your new family. Because you're going to begin to treat your kids differently, just like they treated you differently. Amen. Hallelujah. And the funny thing is, the black sheep, the ugly duckling of the family, amen, if they're not careful or treat their kids the same way. And the thing about that is the child that you made the outcast just because they don't have the physical characteristics that you worship could really be the one that God used to do great things. So how dare you do exactly what they just did to you, man? Don't do that, man. That's a family idol of looks, and we got it bad in Lafayette. We got it bad. Can I be real with you here for a second? We got it bad. And our European brothers and sisters might not understand the depths of it. But in black families, here's how it works. You might have one kid that come out lighter complexion. And guess what black people do? They value the lighter complexion child. They might have a child come out with more European-looking hair. All right? Now, to the Europeans, all our hair look alike. You understand what I'm saying? But to us, it's got like one curl. He come out with one little curl that wasn't, it's just a little wave. And woo! We treat him like the golden child. You special. Because you look more European. Because you have more European. Isn't that something, Mr. Flugens? Of people that hate their own look. And value their own children based upon how European they look. Listen to me good, saints. It's a family idol. You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about no other race in here. I'm talking about our race. How we jacked up. You know what I'm saying? And the Europeans may have a value system too. And I guarantee you, they have a value system based upon beauty as well sometimes. You know? But what I'm saying is that it's wrong and it's a family idol. Let me tell you some other ones. Amen. Y'all got a little time this morning? All right? We got to come out of them, y'all. We got to be saved, but not only saved, sanctified and renewed in our minds. Where we do things not like our family, not like our kindred, not like our cousins, but we do things like Christ. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! Sound booth, I'm going to move through these fast. Amen. Alcohol can be a family idol. When them boys sit down there and they buy them six packs, they got to roll them in on a dolly. And they set that down by the barbecue pit. And that a man go seeing which one can drink the most. I was about to say drown. Which one can drink the most? You know what I'm saying? Put themselves under so much alcohol. Amen. And they sit there. Why? Because it's a family idol. And they come out there, they both drunk, throwing up and stuff like that. Oh, he can't handle the liquor. And you won the trophy, the title. The Vince Lombardi of liquidation. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. You won, man. You know what I'm saying? But it's a family idol. You know what I'm saying? He could drink the most. You know? Don't worry about his health. You know what I'm saying? And how much beer is in his waist. Don't worry about that. How much yeast in him. You know, you could touch that ball like that door ball. Woo-hoo-hoo! You could. You know what I'm saying? But it don't matter. It don't matter. He won. It's a family idol. Alcohol. G-Money, don't laugh too much, G-Money. Alcohol, drugs, clubs, has other family items. Where the family get ready, you could feel the atmosphere on Friday night. It changes in the house. Everybody moving around, getting dressed about 9. Even the kids in the separate room knowing, oh yeah, mom and I'm going out. The kids, everybody know. Look, the boy just 3 years old. Yeah, they going out tonight. They going out. They going to the club tonight. Let them go. We're going to be able to do anything we want. My mom going to be sleeping soon. But they going in the club. An idol of club. You see what I'm saying? Come on, Pastor. Keep going. An idol of women. Fornication is what I'm talking about. See, because in certain families, you're not a big man until you can make, hallelujah, 5 children with different women. You're not a big man unless you can brag about how many women you have. And we start them off small with that. We go to little boys, we think cute. How many girlfriends you have, man? I got 8 of them. You see? The next question should be, how much child support you gonna be paying, man? Yeah, keep it real with them, y'all. Family idols of men, homosexuality. Pedophilia, fighting, yeah. Got some families that value the tough guys. And so whoever could be the meanest, whoever could fight the best, you know what I'm saying? That's the family champion. And so whenever the family get into it, we're going to go call Bertha or, you know what I'm saying, or somebody. You know, somebody like, you know, I got an aunt named Bertha. Wait, I don't mean that like that, Mom. But are we going to call Miss Carrie? You know what I'm saying? And so it's this tough guy thing. And the family's value idol, that tough guy, the one that fight a brawler, with a temper, can't control their tongue. You know? All right? Now let me tell you, y'all, what happens with these idols, all right? When you got a family idol, the whole family gravitates toward that thing. And they try to become, amen, what the family values most, all right? And so people will, hey, God, if it's money, they're going to try to have the most money. They're going to try to have the most beauty. They're going to try to drink the most alcohol. They're going to try to have the most women. They're going to try to fight the most. And so, hey, God, what they're trying to do is climb the ladder of success in the family and be the one in the family. You know? What I'm saying is we got to come out of that, saints. And we got to change our mindsets as we become Christians. Amen. He told Abraham, get thee out, not only thy country, but get thee out of thy kindred. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. Let's keep going. Let's keep going, y'all. Hallelujah. Yes, we're going to be, you know, it ain't going to be too long because that was my longest point, all right? And remember, we don't have 14 points today. We only got how many? 3 of them, all right? And it's going to get shorter as we go down here. All right. All right, here we go. Here we go. Oh, man. I got to show you these scriptures before I move to B, though. It's important. All right. Look at Matthew 10:37. Because some of y'all will say, but Pastor, I can't leave my family like that. I can't stop going over there. And their value system is so important to me. What they value is what I want to be. Even though it's wrong, even though it's against the Bible. I just want to show you this scripture right quick before we move to B. Look what he says. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So here we have father and mother. Don't put them before God. Son and daughter, don't put them before God. Luke 14, hallelujah, expands this. It says not only father and mother, son and daughter, but it says wife, brothers, sisters. You see? And if you put that before God, look what he says. You cannot be my disciple. And one of the commentators I was studying is saying, listen, of course God is not saying for you to hate your mom and daddy. God is not telling you, amen, to go ahead and not love them at all. But what God is saying, yeah, love them, obey them, honor them. But compared to him and the love you should show him and the honor you should show him, God is an infinite God, and the love you show him should be infinitely higher than the love you show your earthly mama and daddy and your children. You got to put him first. You got to come out of that. You got to come out your families. Come on, give God some glory, amen. All right, write down Matthew 12:46, and you can look at it on your free time because Jesus did the same thing. They told him, they say, Jesus, your mama and your daddy are outside. He said, who's my mama and my daddy? Who's that? Who's that? He said, I'm going to show you my mama, my daddy, my brothers, and my sisters. You see? All right, sub point B. Get thee out of thy kindred. That word kindred, remember, not only means family, but it also means friendships and other close relationships that you might have. Boyfriends, girlfriends, BFF, like they say. Let me tell you something here, Christian. When you get saved, every relationship that you have before salvation, understand this, you cannot take all of those relationships with you. You can't do it. You can't do it. And if you try, hey, God, something's not going to work out right. Right? You can't take them all with you. Right? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, look what it says. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, do you know what a yoke is? Let's get to that. Let me just show you what a yoke is. All right. Sambu, show them what a yoke is. It's some agricultural equipment. They put one animal on one side, another animal on the other side. And they would have that animal pull some type of a carriage or the plow. All right? Our older saints know this. But the whole deal was you couldn't put two different animals on one yoke because the animals were different. The strength was different. The speed was different. The height was different. You put two of the same animals. Why? So that they'll pull at the same time, with the same strength, with the same speed. How can two walk together unless they agree? Anybody hear me up in here? All right? When you put two different kinds of animals, when you put two different kinds of animals on the same yoke, hey, God, the line of your field, of your row, will not be straight. Because the ox going to pull that donkey. The donkey going to kick the ox. There's all kind of trouble going to go on. All right? All kind of trouble going to go on. And what's not going to happen is the work that you plan to get done. All right? That's why Paul is making an analogy. Be ye not unequally yoked. Then he says, together. With who? With unbelievers. Why is he saying that to Christians? Because a Christian and an unbeliever, a worldling, amen, and a messianic, amen, a believer, are two different kinds. The Bible says if anybody be in Christ, he is a new creature. All right? You become a different kind. You're not just a human being. You're a human being carrying the presence and the spirit of the Most High God. You're a whole new creature. You're a whole new creature. All right? That means you can't be yoked together with an unbeliever because they are different kind than you. And that means that the job that y'all set out to do together will not get done. Y'all work at a different speed. The strength is different. Y'all have different goals. How can two walk together except they be in agreement? Anybody hear me up in here? Come on, give God some glory. Amen. And so what the Lord is saying, saints, is that, amen, for us as Christians, there are some close relationships that we cannot be in with unbelievers. All right. Now, unbeliever can be like cool with you in association. Y'all kind of work together. You see him, what's happening, this and that. But close bosom buddies, being to each other's house all the time, spending the night with each other, all this and all that like that, that can't happen between two a Christian and an unbeliever. No. Oh, no, that can't happen. That can't happen. How can two walk together except they be in agreement? You see, this yoke is not about our common associations. You know, you could be cool with just about anybody. That's how we let our light shine. We're going to walk amongst them. But close bosom buddies, business partners, when we come together, contract business partner, marriage between an unbeliever and a believer, I would even go as far as dropping your kids off to an unbeliever. That's a no-no. And we got a lot of Christian parents doing that. They go drop them kids. But that's my aunt. Yeah, but she unsaved. She got a bottle, a fit in her. You know what I'm saying? All right. Somebody say unequally yoked. Can't be best friends, can't be bosom buddies, can't be business partners, can't be spouses. Amen. Can't even keep our kids. No, we're going two different directions here. And the Bible say in 15, y'all just stay with me. Stay with me here. Don't get tired. Stay with me here. Look what he say in 15. He say, what concord? Let's see. What communion? No, we're still in 14. Go back to 14. What communion? Or what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Righteousness and unrighteousness don't have no type of commonality, he's saying. What communion had light with darkness? And what he's saying is, hallelujah, a room either going to be light or dark in its essence. Amen. When dark show up, hallelujah, it's dark. And when light show up, it's light. And they ain't got no communion together. What concord had Christ and Belial? What Jesus got to do with devils and demons and Satan and Lucifer? There's no concord. There's no treaty, no contract. In fact, Brother Noel, listen, when Jesus showed up and them devils saw him, you know the phrase that they would say? They say, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, Son of God? Had thou come to torment us before the time, before the judgment? We ain't got nothing to do with you. And we know when we see you, it's either judgment time or something else big going on. Because we know when we see you, we have no agreement, we have no concord, we ain't cool, there's no fellowship. Anybody hear me up in here? When the devil see the Lord in the end, it's on. You understand what? You know some. You know people like that you used to have back in the day. You tell them next time you see me, boy. All right? Now, not in such a violent way. But that's how we are to the world and to the worldlings. You know? We can kind of associate with them because we in this world. But ain't no bosom buddies, ain't no business agreements, ain't no marriages. Come on, give God some glory, amen? Yes. Why is that, Pastor? Why we can't be bosom buddies with them? That was my childhood friend. It was like Harpo on The Color Purple. Me and you will never part. Whoopi Goldberg style. Pastor, we cut our hand in the field. And we shook hand, blood brother. You know, I understand that. You see? But this is what Christ is concerned with. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived, the Bible says. Evil communication does what? It corrupts good manners. Influence is what the Lord is worried about. You can't be around them people, bosom buddies with them, and them people not influence you, man. Them people going to influence you to drink. They're going to influence you to fornicate. They will influence you to look at pornography and lust. They're going to influence you to cheat on your wife or your husband. Listen to me. We can't be cool like that. If we head in different directions. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. You say, Pastor, that's not true. Proverbs 22:25. The Bible said, don't even hang with an angry man. Lest thou do what? Look at influence. Lest thou learn his ways. And get a snare for thy soul. Young people, listen to me good. Schoolers. High schoolers. Even in college. Listen to me. Listen to me good. Don't hang with them worldlings. Stay away from them unbelievers. Birds of a feather flock together. You're going to learn their ways if you're not careful. I know you think it's fun and you just won't laugh at them. But let me tell you, man, read Proverbs 1. Read Proverbs 1. It says, blessed is the man, amen, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That stand, you know what I'm saying, with the mother folks, sit in the ski, see the scarf. Listen, why? Because listen, man, you start off standing. Hallelujah. You start off walking, then standing, then sitting. As you spend time with them, you just start off just wanting to laugh at them. And it's fun. But that laughing gonna turn to looking. That looking gonna turn to lust. And that lust going to turn into adultery. You watch what I'm telling you. You can't be with them. Unless you learn their ways. And let me tell you something good, man. This applies to you in person, Christian. But also, being unequally yoked also applies to TV, online, Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram. You can't be bosom buddy friends with them people. Why? Because of their influence upon you. You got all these people friends and you're Snapchatting all these people. All them pictures them lost people showing you ain't from God, no. And all of their gossiping messy ways, that's not from the Most High. But the devil done got slick upon us, man. We understand that we're not supposed to be unequally yoked, amen, in person, but we have not applied that to the new technological realm in which we live. And so there we go. The people we wouldn't hang with, we watch them on TV. You would never hang with that girl. You would never roll with that boy, but you watch their drama-filled lives on TV. You want to know all what them housewives doing. You want to know all what them preachers in this town doing. Come out from among them. Get thee out. Lest you learn their ways. You got friends on that Facebook you know you wouldn't be friends with in real life. Yeah, I said it, real life. You see? And the people tempting you, man. That woman tempting you, man. A young man tempting you when you're going through the hardest times in your marriage. That worldliness there, waiting to catch you when you fall. But they don't know that the steps of their house lead to death. And that hell is there. Christians don't know that. It start off with a yoking, man. Get thee out. Get thee out. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Listen, before I leave this point, here's just another truth that I want to put on this. It's not only about influence and you learning their ways. Let me tell you, some people in your life could be also blocking your blessing. Oh, now I'm speaking them Christian language, J. Marvel. Now they hear it. Ooh, ooh, ooh. My goodness, Pastor. Yeah, let me talk about it. Influence, you know what I'm saying? Influence means fluence, you know? They don't really care about that too much. But let me tell you, them people are clogging your blessing, man. Don't you know that certain people you with can stop God from releasing the fullness of his blessing upon your life? When he see you with those people, he say, they're not ready. Before Abraham got his blessing, Abraham didn't receive not a single blessing before he left his kindred. Anybody hear me up in here? He didn't even become Abraham before he left. He was just a plain old Abram. All right, plain old Abram. You see? It's when he left them, y'all, is when he became Abraham. And as we go deeper, you see, Abraham obeyed God in phases. You see? God told him, leave your kindred. But when you study it here, Abraham brought some kin with him. The Bible says Lot came with him. And who was Lot? Lot was his nephew. Now, God didn't tell you to leave him, amen, because, hallelujah, he trying to hurt you. No, he know what's best for you. If you would have left him, there wouldn't be a lot of trouble that y'all would have later down the road. He said, leave him. He said, leave him, but Lot won't come. All right? So Lot come. He come with him. And remember, beef started. The herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot were striving. And them boys beefing. Because you know, when you know what I'm saying, Brother Brown, me and you tight, but maybe your employee getting in with my employee, amen, and we about to fall out, me and you, because of lesser men. Now, we ain't got no problem, me and you. You see? And that's how stuff started, man. It started off with Abraham's servants and Lot's servants, and maybe Abraham's wife, Sarah, you know what I'm saying? Get mad with Lot's wife. You know, she was a piece of work, that Lot's wife. That girl, that was no good. That was no good. You understand what I'm saying? Now, me and you fall out, B. Why? Me and you cool. But our wives fall out. No, y'all ain't falling out. Y'all good. Bad example. Let's just move on. Let's just move on. Listen. You see what I'm saying? That's what happened. Now if he'd have left that man like God told him to leave, it wouldn't have fallen out. You know? So finally Abraham get it. You can't halfway obey God. Yeah. You got to obey God all the way. Anybody hear me up in here? And the Bible say this. Now it wasn't until he left Lot. Look what it said in Genesis 13, 14. Look what it said. I love this. Come on, Sam. Get it up there for him. Hallelujah. It says, and the Lord said to Abram, after that Lot was what? Separated from him. Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward. 15. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it unto thy seed forever. It didn't happen till he separated himself. Listen to me, Christian. You keeping some people in your life that's keeping you from blessing. Keeping you from going to the next level. Amen. And God just waiting on you. He told you to get out, but yeah, God, that's my best friend. That's my nephew, God. I got to talk to him every day. I got to chill with her. I got to go check her out. Her outfit for the club. She need me to see it and look at it and make sure it's good. Really? God saying, all right. All right. You won't be unequally yoked. That thing you waiting on, keep waiting. Woo! Keep waiting. In Genesis 17:5, after he leave, hallelujah, Lot, he says, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. You see? There's some things, some people, you see, that's in your life right now, not influencing you good, that you just got to back up from. Remember, it's not a complete and utter alienation where you don't love them, man, you know? But the influence on you going to keep you down. You cannot take everybody with you. Where you going? You can't take everybody with you. And you can't, oh, God, you cannot be who God has called you to be until you come out. You can't even be that. You see, the picture God have for you, the businesses God have for you, the positions God have for you, the leadership roles God have for you, you can't be that and do that. Carrying your family ways, your family religion, your family mind. You can't be that until you leave. You can't be all that carrying these people with you. Abraham would have never been who he became without him getting out. Oh, God. Babe, I'm trying, babe. All right. Last point. What? Wait. But I love him, Pastor. I'm going to just give these people up. They're so important in my life. Number one, I'm not saying just alienate them. You still check on them, love them, be there when they need. What is it a matter of? It's a matter of but I want to show you something in the scripture now. The old folk used to say, you could never outgive God. And anything you give up for God. Oh! He know how much you love him. He know how much you like to be with him. But I'm telling you, the deeper you dig to give up something from God. The deeper you dig, the wider you dig, the most pain it causes you to uproot them things out of your life. Woo! Is the bigger shipment God gonna call in? We can't put any blessing in that hole. They had to dig deep for that. They had to dig wide for that. It really hurt them. It really cost them something. I can't just put a little blessing in that. No, a little car ain't going to feel that blessing. A little house ain't going to feel that blessing. Hey, God, come on, bring out the big truck. Come on, back it on up. You know what I'm saying? Mark 10:29 is the scripture for all of my boop. This is the scripture. And Jesus answered, verily I say unto you, there is no man. Somebody say no man.
No man.
That had left house, brothers, sisters, father, mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's sake. Look at verse 30. It's getting better and better. I'm getting the fleas on. I'm getting the chills up in here. Hey, God. Hey, God. It was so much they couldn't put it in one verse. Look at verse 30. You left all those things, but he shall receive what? 100-fold. When? When he gonna receive 100-fold? When he gonna receive it? When he gonna receive it? When he gonna receive it? Hey! Hey! You gotta put some people behind you. And some Christians saying yes in the sweet by and by. In my mansion in the sky, I'm going to be blessed. Jesus said, nah, you do this for me now. You do this for me now. You will get blessed now. 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 I'm going to bless you now, Brother Brian. Now. Yeah, you could never outgive God. He said 100-fold now. In case you don't understand now, look what he says. In this time. Houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, every person, hey, God, you back away from. God's going to add more brothers, more sisters, more mamas, more daddies, more. You ain't got it yet because you ain't back away yet. You waiting for him to give them to you before you back away. But with God, his blessings don't work like that. You got to step out on faith and walk on the water. Hey, God. We waiting for the water to turn hard. We waiting for the water to turn to concrete or ice. No, 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 no. Step. It's after you get them out your life. God said, yeah. I'm going to do it. I'm going to bless you with, hey, God, 100-fold what you done gave up for me. It's going to come with some persecutions, he said. Realize that. Because they're going to talk about you. But you got to be willing to be talked about. For the Most High God. And you're not only going to receive those blessings now, in this time. Hey, God. And he says, and in the world to come, eternal life. It's a double blessing. It's a supreme blessing. It's a beatitude. Anybody hear me up in there? He bless you now, and he'll bless you later. Get thee out from thy country. From thy kindred, your family, your friends. But let's look at this last one, saints. You're going to have to get thee out even from some Christians. I'm teaching Bible up in here. That's all I'm teaching. Everything I'm verifying, amen, with the veracity of the scriptures. Everything. Everything. I add Christians to this list because I believe that there are certain Christians that you can't hang with all the time. Certain Christians you can't be bosom buddies with. I see you in church. I high five you. I high five you. Fist bump you. We cool. But we can't go nowhere together. I can't bring you to mine. And you can't come. I can't go to yours like that. We ain't going to sit down every night and play a game of Uno over some Kool-Aid. We just can't do it like that. Right? It's sad. But it's true. You see? In Philadelphia right now, we in a period of time where we trying to get you to deal with people. Meaning like show love and deal with them and look over their faults. And that's where we are, to be honest with you, as a church. Because we know we all fall short of the glory. And we gonna rub each other the wrong way every now and then. It's just the nature of what church is. We all sick people. Anybody hear me up in here? It's a spiritual hospital, all right? So with these little nuances, yeah, continue to deal, all right? But I want to tell you that there's a level that we get to in our relationships with one another where we can't deal no more. We just can't deal no more. You understand? And it's not like in the club when they step on your shoe or they call you the wrong name. It's not like that, all right? But I'm going to give you some of the ways in which the Bible says, even when we have brothers and sisters, sometimes we got to back away from them. Number one, when your brother and sister, when they're in habitual sin, amen, when they're in habitual sin, all right? The Bible says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Don't hang with fornicators, he's saying. And it's a loose word, not to company with them. But look at verse 10. He says, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, meaning that we can have associations with worldlings yet. This is not close bosom buddy he's talking about. We can have associations with the world, amen, and kind of, you know, hey, what's happening, all that. You know what I'm saying? We're not talking phone every night, but every now and then we're in their company. So he's not talking about the world right here, or with the covetous, the extortioners, or the idolaters in the world. Because if you try to get completely away from all of them, Paul said, for then must ye needs go out of the world. Paul said, they're everywhere. So don't take this as you trying to be a hermit, back yourself in some monastery somewhere, and come off from the world. That's not what we're saying here, y'all. We're talking more about what? Influence. Not being bosom buddies with them. So Paul is just explaining that. But then he goes deeper. He says, but listen to this. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is what? That is called a brother be a fornicator, covetous, idolater. Pay attention to what he says. He says this dude is called a brother. This tells us he might not really be a brother. But he's called a brother. He has a profession of faith. All right? He's called a brother. But the problem is, he is a, the Bible says, called a brother, be a what? A fornicator. He's sleeping around. The dude serving in the church. The dude coming up for communion. The dude doing all this, doing all that. Hallelujah. Now, pastor don't know, because if pastor knew, pastor would get him out of the ministries. You know what I'm saying? No, he could still come, but he wouldn't be leading nothing. But y'all see him every Sunday, and he a fornicator. He not married to people that he's sleeping with. He covetous, greedy, steal, cheat, lie for that money. Idolater, he bowing and bending to statues and idols. A railer, hallelujah. NLT says a swindler, a cheat people. A drunkard, y'all know what a drunkard is. That's it. An extortioner. Hey, God, I think that's the swindler right there, rather. Yeah. He says, look what he says about that person who's called a brother, that's living like this. He said, would such a one know not to eat? If they got a Christian living in habitual sin that you know of, the Bible says, back yourself away from that. Back yourself away from that. Now, here's the deal. It's not one sin, though. It's not like David, where David messed up, but he repent and he get it right. The issue is habitual sin. Meaning that this brother come to church, he know the truth, Miss Janice, but he insists on living that way. It's not a mistake where it's a lapse of judgment or something. Nah, he know just like you know, but he headlong, face like flint into sin. Going into sin like they say, eyes wide open. And continuing. He said, look, he said, don't hang with that. Don't eat with that. Don't roll with that. You know? I'm almost done, y'all. I'm almost done. You all right over there, Mom? All right. Now, usually she got weapons in that purse, so y'all watch out. You ain't got your mace or your brass knuckles today, Mom. I'm not going to ask about anything else. We're going to just leave that off record. Look, that's what he said. Now, let me tell you why God would tell you not to hang with people like that. Because a person like that, that may be a brother, may be a Christian. You know that everybody that's God's, God going to chasten. He going to judge. If this brother is a Christian and he doing that, don't be rolling with that brother. Because you never know when God going to show up to chasten and judge that brother. Man, I had a preacher friend, man, in Baton Rouge. I done told y'all this story before. That brother was, he was wide open. He was running. He was doing everything. All right? He was extremely talented, could preach, sing, everything. But he had a problem with the women. All right? And we try to rebuke him. We try to help him. We try to do everything we can, you know. And he just wouldn't change, wouldn't amend. And God told me, man, I told my little wife that, because I used to hang with him a lot. God told me, he said, don't you ever get in a car with that dude again. He said, don't ever get in a car with that dude again. and I heard God in prayer, and I never did. You know what I'm saying? Because God was telling me, listen, when I come down on him, I don't want you to be nowhere around. Woo! Woo! That's why God said, a brother like that, don't eat with that brother. That's when you know something like that. All right? And God's going to show you if he wants you to back up. All right? Let me give you a couple more. The unruly brothers. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. We winding down. He says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every what? Every brother that walk in what? Disorderly. And not after the tradition which he received from us. That disorderly means unruly. This brother don't follow the rules. Don't follow authority. Undisciplined. Irresponsible. He's in idleness. He's out of rank with the vision, amen, of God and the church. And so, hey, God's saying, if you see him, he unruly. He don't listen to no rules and nothing that nobody say. God say, you better back away from him. Say, back away from him. You know what I'm saying? He said, withdraw yourself. Withdraw yourself. Let me give you another one because we're winding down. If you see a brother or sister in here that cause divisions. Divisions. Where they're trying to separate things. Separate the body, separate families. God says six things he hates. He said, man, somebody that's so discord amongst brethren. And I'm telling you, if you find somebody in this church that's trying to divide the people of God, amen, from the leadership, from one another, amen, listen, you back away from them. Anybody hear me up in here? Y'all know what I'm saying? You know... Like if you knew lightning was about to strike them. Why? Because when judgment falls on somebody that's doing wrong, you know anybody that's close to them, they're going to get it too. Achan just didn't get punished, no. But everybody that was around him got punished. In fact, in the Exodus days, when the group was about to get punished, Moses would say, who on our side? And the ball in Hebrews would run. And then Moses would say, back away from them. Huh? And then the earth will open up and swallow them all up and then burp, burp. You understand what I'm saying? All right, let's get to it. Romans 16, 17. Now I beseech you, brethren. Look what he said. Mark. Take your sharpie permanent marker and put a check on their forehead. Mark them which cause division. Right? They're trying to divide the church, trying to divide the body. Miss Jen, why do people divide? Pride. That's why Lucifer divided. He wanted to be the boss. He wanted to be the chief. He wanted to be the head honcho. So he divided from the head who was God because he was smelling himself. That's why people divide. When you find somebody full of pride, amen, and want to be boss, amen. Hallelujah. The Bible say, mark them and avoid them. Not only that, I'm telling you, I'm reading the Bible. He said, mark them that cause divisions. Listen, why else do people divide, Miss Denise? Because of jealousy, they divide. You know, when they jealous of somebody else, you know. In this church, we all have seasons where we're going to be blessed and be promoted. What if we promote one and we don't promote you just yet? You know, some people can't handle that. Now, listen, they're next in line to get promoted, Tyler. You understand what I'm saying? We're going to promote, hallelujah, Sam in September and them in October. But since it's still September, all they see is Sam promoted. And guess what? They get mad. They get jealous. They start sowing division. Why they ain't never put me up? Why they ain't never put me in the 12? Why they never picked me to lead the 12? Why they didn't never do this, didn't never do that, didn't never. You about to come up next month? If you could just learn how to wait your turn. And so what the jealous folk do is start dividing. Now when they start dividing, that October turned to October 2021. Y'all saw I didn't laugh at all with them? Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God, man, got to put you on the shelf, though. And he got time. He got time. He got time. You'd be 80 years old before you get up and minister. Well, what I had to say, he said, mark them. They divide because of pride. They divide because of jealousy. Some divide because they just plain old messy. How do rumors get started? Look what he's saying. Mark them. You know, they divide by spreading mess and gossip. He say, mark them. Listen. He say, mark those which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have received, that you have learned. So they divide, they offending people contrary to the word of God and according to doctrine. And the Bible says, do what to them? He says, avoid them. Listen. The Bible tells us, y'all, to get out. You're going to have to get out of your kindred. Get out of your family. Get out of some friends. Get away from some Christians that you try your best to deal with, but they continue to divide, continue to be unruly, continue to live in open, habitual sin. And after you give them time and time again, chance and chance again, you go to them, you pray for them, you restore a brother who's in a fault with meekness, considering yourself lest you've been tempted. You're doing all of that to them, and they're not going to turn. They're not going to change. They're still talking about you. They're still being unruly. They're still in their sin. God say, listen, avoid them. Move away from them. You can't take everybody with you. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! Woo! Pastor taught us a full word today. That's right. Appetizer, main course, and a dessert. Ushers, if you could open up the gates. If you're here today, and you would say, Pastor, I don't know if I had to die right now, if I'd go to heaven or hell. But I heard at Philadelphia, this is the place where I can come, where I can hear the gospel every Sunday. They told me if I want to know God, that I come here. And I can hear how to get myself right with my Maker. I won't tell you, though we've dealt with a Christian issue the majority of the service. Truth of the matter is, yes, we can. And yes, we will bring that gospel. Gospel that you need to hear is simple. That we all sinners in here. And all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. There's not a man amongst us who has sinned not, Solomon says. The other thing you need to know about sin is that God can't dwell with sin. He can't bring something sinful into a holy heaven. The dirty can't live with the clean. The righteous can't live with the unrighteous. Those that's been serving Belial can't come up in the end and the last and live with Christ. It's just not how it works. But God loved us so much, he opened up a way. He made a way out of no way, saints. When all of humanity was doomed and the devil had appeared like he had won, the Bible teaches us that our God came down in human flesh, lived the sinless, perfect life that we could not live. And when it was all over, he died the Old Testament sacrificial death for the sins of the world. His blood pays for our iniquities, our transgressions, for our shortcomings. So here it is. We all sinners. But God sent us a Savior. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This part of the service, I want to invite you. If you would say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven. I want to invite you to believe God. To believe that he loves you. To believe, amen, that he died for your sins on that cross. To believe that he was buried in the grave. But also to believe with your whole heart that death couldn't hold him down. That he rose on the third day. Is anything too hard for God, I ask you? Nah. And so when they killed him, when he laid down his life, the third day that stone rolled away. And he rose with victory and power, and he rose with a promise. The promise was this, that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You just believe. You just call. You see, God's going to save you. We're going to have an altar call. And at this altar call, you're going to admit you're a sinner. You're going to believe. You're going to open your mouth, confess through prayer, and God's going to save you on the spot. This altar call is not only for Christians, amen, those who want to be saved, but this altar call is for Christians too. Maybe this sermon spoke to you. Maybe you are getting influenced still by family. Maybe you have not separated yourself quite far enough, and it's blocking your blessings. You have not released their religion, their ways, nor their mindset. And you felt the illuminating light of the Holy Ghost shining upon the secrets of your heart. No, it's not me. I don't know it. But God knows what you're going through. And so I want to pray for you, Christian, that you would have the strength, the fortitude to make those tough decisions in those relationships that's not good for you. So you can stop being influenced. And so you can release all the blessings that God would have for you. I'm calling Abrahams to this altar this morning so that they can inherit the blessing. If you're here and this word spoke to you, the altar is open. Come so we can pray. Come. 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 We don't have long. We don't have long. Come. And don't worry about leaving. I'm going to leave now so the traffic. No, some of y'all leave when it's blessing time. Some of y'all need this prayer at the altar. You're working with people that's hindering you. You know? And God's going to teach you this mystery of separation from influence. They're going to still think that you love them, yeah. But it's just a little bit of this. It's just a little bit. Just a little bit of distance. You know? So you can get all that God has for you. Y'all ready to pray with me? Y'all ready? Somebody say, God, Most High, thank you for loving me. I admit I've sinned against you. And I'm sorry. But I believe that you still love me. That you died for me on that cross. I believe you were buried, but you rose on the third day. You told me if I call upon you that you'll save me. Well, I'm calling now. Lord, save me, a sinner, and clean me up. Fill me with your spirit. Give me wisdom. Show me the people in my life who are not good for me. Show me the people who have a bad influence on my life. Lord, I need you. You know how hard it is. I love my family. I love my friends. But I don't love them more than I love you. So give me the strength. Give me the wisdom to back away so I can serve you. Now, Lord, be true to your word. You said if I gave up anything for you, that you would bless me. Show me, God. Show me, Daddy. Bless me indeed. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come on, give him glory. Give him glory. Give him glory. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. Lift up his countenance upon you and bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Love you too, Miss Rose. With peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Love y'all, saints. Be blessed.